The first scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with a psalm. God reigns over the nations, God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Father in heaven, we have seen much this morning. We have witnessed men and women and children who sense your call on their life, some for a week or two to go to another land, others for an indefinite period of time, but all testifying to the wonder of the gospel, the work that took place first in their lives, so much so that they can't stop speaking about that which they've seen and heard. It is truly a work of your Spirit and your Spirit alone. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do the same work in us now, that our hearts and minds would feel and think correctly, that we would want to take that which we're learning, specifically about prayer, and begin to pray boldly, that we would always be faithful to do that which you've called us to do. Lord, I know that as the congregation swells this morning with joy for what's taken place, as the sanctuary is somewhat full of people who long to know you, we know we are dependent on you. We know we cannot do this on our own strength. We cannot even do anything within our own soul on our own strength. So we come boldly asking that you would do this great work even now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why go? Why go? Why sign up for a mission trip? Why send letters out to 30, 40, 50 people asking for them to give you money that you might go? Why get on a plane and take four little children into a closed country where they will be raised? Why go? Because Jesus Christ reigns. Jesus Christ reigns. He is Lord, and the most urgent task in the world today is to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's more urgent than any distraction that you're facing right now. It's more urgent than anything you'll face in the future. It's the most urgent task in the world. And those who know Christ, who have been sought by Jesus, who have been purchased by his blood, have the privilege of going and saying, "Yes, Lord, yes, I will go." But we go, don't go simply to bring relief. We go to bring the ultimate hope. But how? In case you're wondering how long I'm going to preach today because of all the events of the service, we're going to get out about the right time. I have a 45-minute sermon. which will be split between this Sunday and next. I'm going to be making one of four points this morning about the very simple and clear application that the psalmist gives us. Look with me at Psalm 46 again. In verse 8, the psalmist says, "Come behold the works of the Lord. Come behold the works of the Lord." That's what we do on Sunday morning. You are a work of the Lord. From the beginning of time, He has pursued you and done everything necessary that you might profess faith in Christ. He has rescued you. He is the divine rescuer. Come and behold the works of the Lord. And then in verse 10, that very famous verse, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. Earlier this summer, we kicked off a series on prayer. We started by asking Jesus, petitioning Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Psalm 46:10 is a great verse to camp on to understand what does it really mean to pray. But it might not mean everything you think it means. And you need to be here next week or at least listen to it online to understand the fullness of what that verse means. Be still and know that I am God. How is it that Kevin and Ashley and the hundreds of men and women who stood before us today, and indeed every member of the body of Christ here today, how is it that we can go? How is it that we can proclaim this incredible truth? It actually is here in verse 10. Before you go, you must be still. When you get there, you must be still. When you sing to those who will be there to hear you, you must be still. Because without being still, you cannot know God. Write that down. Without being still, you cannot know God. You can know something of God from reading Him, of Him in a book. You can know something of His ways by reading the Bible and studying it. But without being still, you truly cannot know God. It's the difference between what C.S. Lewis calls paint, which merely covers the surface, and stain, which soaks deeply in. And many Christians frequently are changing the paint of coat or the coat of paint with the new things that they're learning, but it's not really soaking in. It's not that stain which he is speaking of. It's when we are still, as the psalmist says, that we begin to soak it in and know who God truly is. So this morning and next week, I'm going to talk about stillness. And I'm going to talk about what is it in this psalm we learn about God when we are still. But let's talk about stillness for a minute. Stillness is something that we all think we crave. But deep down, I think most of us are terrified of it. Stillness is something that is so good for us. But the world in which we live in is so very noisy. Stillness is something we must pursue in order to know God. And therefore, the enemy, I believe, has done a great work in making our world as noisy as possible so that we won't turn it off and turn towards that which is inside. Be still and know that I am God. You know what I'm talking about. When's the last time you had real moments of stillness? The first time I ever experienced stillness was for 20 minutes at a Young Life camp, when they forced every student to go outside for 20 minutes. No Walkman in those days. For some of you, it would have been an 8-track, I guess. No cell phones. Nothing that could distract you, just silence. And for many, many people, that was the highlight of the week. When's the last time you really had stillness? The external world is so loud. Studies now tell us that the average attention span of listening to a lecture is only 7 minutes, which means I need to hurry. I only have about 1 minute left. Some say it's less. They tell us that the average worker is interrupted every 3 minutes. Every 3 minutes, email, phone calls, interruptions. Some of the young mothers are saying, "Oh, I would love to have 3 minutes." Our world is so loud. But once, if possible, we can get away from the external noise. If we can turn off the TV, the iPod, if we can turn off even the family who is so eager to have us meet their needs, if we can get away for just a bit, and it's quiet, and it's still externally, then it gets really loud. It gets really loud. The internal noise, the chaos of our soul, the anxiety that we're experiencing, the fear of the future and the guilt of the past, the shame of who we are not, overwhelms us to the point where we long more for noise. I don't want to deal with that. Some of you travel a lot, and I'm sure many have noise cancellation headphones. I have a pair. I use them frequently in my office because of the noise that's outside in the halls. And when I put them on my head and flick the switch, it goes quiet. But then it gets really, really loud as I begin to hear the noise of what's inside. Be still and know that I am God. How can we learn to be still? The first thing we must understand is stillness is not what we typically think. This verse has been taken out of context by many who have sought to lead a contemplative life. Indeed, a contemplative, quiet life is important. But do you know what this is primarily about? Surrender. Submission. This verse, verse 10, comes out of the context of the Lord conquering nations, conquering his enemies. And this message is to those who were his enemy. And he says, be still and know that I am God. He is calling them to put down their arms, to put down their defenses, to put down those things which come between him and them. Stillness is not primarily about finding your favorite little quiet place with your favorite little pillow and your favorite journal and some candles and nice music. That's all fine and good, and I practice a lot of that. But it's primarily about surrender. It's about going to the Lord and saying, Father, I surrender. I'm still. You see, when you read a verse like this, the error is to fall on the stillness side. Be still, so I'm going to focus on being still. But the purpose of being still is what? To know that he is God. Be still and know that I am God. Don't be still for stillness' sake, as good as that sounds. Be still and know that I am God. Go before the Lord, Kevin and Ashley, before you leave, when you're there, and surrender. To the choir, those here and those out in the congregation, when you're singing those songs and people are listening, remember that you're there to tell them what you know of God. And if you're not still, you can't know God. Don't simply show them paint. Show them stain that has moved so deeply in you that you confess who he is. He is Lord. Surrender. When we do that, I'm confident because of what the word says that we will know something more of God. Well, what is it we will know? One thing this Sunday. Look with me at the very first verse of Psalm 46. If we are still and know that he is God, then we will know that he is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Throughout this psalm, Psalm 46, we see the beauty of God being a help in time of need, being the refuge, the strength. And as it says twice, our fortress. God longs for us to be still, that we might know who he is. And as we're still, we begin to understand that he is our only refuge. He is our only strength. He indeed is our fortress. What it is that we must surrender in being still is all the other refuges that we've taken hope in. All the other help that we have sought, whether it's money, companionship, status, whatever it is, we surrender because he alone is our refuge. Every nation in the world is desperate to hear the news of who God is. God calls us his people to be still, to know who he is. And verse 1 tells us, if we are, we will know that he and he alone is our strength and our refuge, our mighty fortress. How important is this? I want to read something to you. Something that is of incredible honesty and vulnerability, by an incredible church leader in his day. This is what he wrote. Psalm 46 being his favorite psalm because he knew something of trouble. He knew something of trouble because of those who persecuted him. He knew something of the earth giving way. That's the trouble that the psalmist is speaking of. He knew something of the tsunami-type events that would come, not only externally, but also internally. Listen to what he says. He writes a friend on July 13th. The anniversary will be tomorrow. I sit here at ease, hardened and unfeeling. Alas, praying little, grieving little for the church of God, burning rather in the fierce fires of my untamed flesh. It comes to this. I should be a fire in the spirit. In reality, I am a fire in the flesh with lust, laziness, idleness, sleepiness. It is perhaps because you have all ceased praying for me that God has turned away from me. For the last 8 days, I've written nothing, nor prayed, nor studied, partly from self-indulgence, partly from another vexatious handicap. I really cannot stand it any longer. Pray for me. I beg you, for in my seclusion here, I am submerged in sins. Martin Luther. Broken. Desperate. Lonely. Feeling as if his God had abandoned him. Not because of the external struggle that he was facing, but because of the internal reality of the wages of sin, which wage war. And so he turned to his friend, July 13, 1521, saying, please pray for me. Why? Because God and God alone is my only hope and refuge. Psalm 46 is the text for Martin Luther's great hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Brothers and sisters, we know that living this side of heaven, we live in a world that is troubled. We know the struggle in our own souls. Many relate to what Martin Luther has said in his journal. But we have a hope. We have a hope that Christ truly is real, that he does reign, that he will save, that he's mighty to save. And we come to him as his body, longing to be still, surrendering all we are to him, that we might have our eyes lifted up, recognizing that he and he alone is the mighty fortress. Ashley and Kevin, this is what those in that nation need most. They need you to be still, to know that he is God. When you're struggling learning the language, be still and know that he is God. When you're struggling because you don't see the fruit that you thought you would see, be still and know that he is God. When your children are growing up and long to be back where they can see grandma and grandpa, be still and know that he is God. When you're sick of the food and long for a cheeseburger, be still and know that he is God. When your marriage is strained because you're just simply not connecting, be still and know that he is God. When you're not living in the dream home that you thought you would once live in, be still and know that he is God. When you're so homesick that you weep each morning and each night before you go to bed, be still and know that he is God. And as you do that, though they can't even speak your language nor you theirs yet, they will see something in you that's different. It will be a stain. It will be the stain of Jesus Christ's blood, which is poured so deeply in you that they want to know what it is. And they will ask, and then you will tell them what you know. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Before we sing, I want you to stand. Everyone, please. Don't open your hymnal. I want your eyes simply to be lifted up. Because I want something very clearly to be made, stated. Though we witness this morning folds of this body which are going to go out and proclaim the gospel, and a couple, knowing God's called them, willing to put away many of the desires that you and I have, we must realize that we are to go to. That you're to go to your neighbor, to your coworker, to your family members, to the man or woman who cuts your hair or the one who checks you out at the grocery store. You also are missionaries. Yes, they've been set apart for a specific work, some for a short period, others for a longer period. But for you and for me who will be staying here in Dallas, you have a mission field. You are commissioned as well by Christ. Go. Go and make disciples of all nations. That is a joy. And so when we witness what the Lord is doing in a particular group of people's lives, we're also reminded of what he's doing in ours. As Jesus sent out the 72, when they returned, they were excited about the news of what they had seen. And then Jesus said these words to them, "Do not rejoice that you have the power, this Holy Spirit power, to drive out demons and snakes, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Be still and know that I am God." Oh, let the blood of Christ be a stain in you that causes you to go forth and proclaim that Jesus and Jesus alone is a mighty fortress.